Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Willkommen zur 227. Funpod-Ausgabe, sagt Michael. Sharon Clausen aus San Diego in Kalifornien hat 2009 aus spiegelnden Tischsets, die sie bei IKEA gefunden hatte, einen Solarkocher gebaut, den sie nach der gerade stattfindenden Klimakonferenz in Kopenhagen benannt hat. Diesen Panelkocher hat sie eine Weile über eBay verkauft, bis IKEA die Tischsets aus dem Sortiment genommen hat. In der Folgezeit hat Sharon Clausen Ersatzmaterialien gefunden und die ganze Handarbeit bei der Herstellung der Kocherteile im Laufe der Zeit durch Lasercutter und andere Maschinen ersetzt. Sharon erzählt die ganze Geschichte des Kopenhagen-Kochers und schildert uns außerdem noch ihre Eindrücke von der Consul Food in der Algarve, wo wir dieses Interview aufgezeichnet haben.
I'm Sharon Clausen from the United States and I used to go backpacking many years ago and we had the fuel and we worried about fires and stuff from it, and I wanted to find a way to cook that didn't use any fuel, and so I came across solar cooking, and back in 79 I found the Telkis model solar cooker, Maria Telkis, mm-hmm. the one we were talking about. And so I took a metal shop and I made a metal, solar cooker, which then I cooked with a few times.
What style of cooker was it?
Maria Telkis, it's the slant front.
Is it a panel cooker or a box cooker?
A box cooker.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it was a box cooker. And it had a little door on the back of it.
Okay,
this would be the, you would have it the height of, I don't know what to say that is, and then a small top and then the slant comes
okay.
down. And
that's, okay, yes.
And it's Marie Telkis, or Bernard was pronouncing it right. Mm-hmm. So I made that and used just regular glass in it, and I cooked for, a few times with it, mm-hmm. and the glass broke.
Oh, yes.
And I couldn't afford tempered glass then, so I kind of went away from the cooking. But then when it came up around 2000 and we had this Y2K thing, the survival, that the world was going to come to an end for somewhat of a technical reason or something. So I went back to looking at the solar cooking, and then I found books. And when I found books and I found Solar Cookers International and, was able to go online, and so I started making solar cookers out of cardboard and foil, and I probably tried 25, 26 different designs, and I would, try testing them, and my testing methods were the palm of my hand or, mm-hmm. or a thermometer to see if it worked. And so I worked on that until about 2004. I found a cooker that was called the AIT. It was designed in a Japanese university. So it was so simple and flat and easy to make that I taught that for several years. And I had joined the San Diego Solar Cookers group at that time. And I would go out and I would teach people how to make it. And then I had been teaching it for maybe 2 years, and then my husband and I went into IKEA store, and we found placemats with reflective material on the back, and they were the right size to, be able to reflect enough for the sun, so he challenged me to make a solar cooker out of it, so I found a way to take the four panels and connect them together, and then form a funnel shape to cook with. And about a month after I had done that, I put them on eBay. And then in the following years, I sold about 700 of them on eBay.
Okay.
And I could go to IKEA, and there'd be about 100, whatever I bought the last
How
time.
How much were people willing to pay for it?
I was charging them $35 then, and paying the shipping. And so it sold quite well, for a single ad on eBay.
Yes.
And then one day I went in there, and there was no more panels. Mm-hmm. They weren't making that model with the shiny stuff on it.
Yes.
So then I sat down, and I thought, well, what am I going to do? I have customers that want my stuff. So I sat down and said, well, I'll design it out of paper. So there's this Instructables website, you know, for maker things. Mm-hmm. And so I put that on the website, and then I started making them with paper. And I would use, I could get this nice shiny material, and, you know, it was foil, it was a self-stick. And so I'd use that for the inside of the panel, and I glue like a fabric on the outside, and we were using a camouflage. So that is what I sold in between time, and they were paying the same amount of money. And then I had to search to find the plastic and the vinyl to make panels like IKEA's had been. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was talking to Roger in England, who has a plastics company, and I was going to buy a container load from him of a specially made plastic, because he and Mr. Rollins were designing a solar cooker, right? And so that's where I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to spend all this money. And then I find out there's a place, E-Plastics, that's only a mile and a half up the hill from me, mm-hmm. that sold the proper kind of material. And then there's a company called Cantina West that's up in Utah in the USA. And so they had the self-stick vinyl. So I went back to making, well, actually, I started physically making the panels themselves. So we would laminate the self-stick mm-hmm. material onto it. And then we would cut it with a table saw and then use punches to put it together. And we had for the base panel, which is made of wood, and it had 16 holes. You know, there was two pieces of wood mm-hmm. with 16 holes we drilled, and we cut each panel out separately. So we were doing a lot of physical work.
Yeah.
And then we got a laser cutter, and I asked my husband to design a nice base for it and put directions on it. And so now all we have to do for the wood base is to take a piece of wood the size for the two base pieces, mm-hmm. set on the laser cutter, and it will do the 16 holes. It will cut it out. It will make it round the corner, and it'll etch this really pretty design on it.
Mm-hmm. How big are the single panels?
The panels are 8 inches, which is 8 inches by 8 inches. You'd have to interpret that.
Around about 20 centimeters.
Yes, and the panels that we cut mm-hmm. for the reflecting are the same. Let's see, that's mm-hmm. I used to know what it was, but they're 15 inches, mm-hmm. which interpret that 40,
maybe 40 centimeters roundabout,
yeah, somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the size of them, and they wound up fitting into a large Ziploc storage bag, exactly right.
Okay.
And there's a priority shipping, that's, you know, a mail shipping service in the United States. And so if I fold the box flat, I can put the solar cooker in it. And so that's the way, that was my production, you know, cut this and saw the other. And then our future project is when we get our 4 foot by 4 foot, which you can interpret that, CNC router, it will be able to cut out the panels. So now all the handwork we did will now be machine work.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, so that's the that's right. I made an upgrade on the pan, on the way the panels are held together. Mm-hmm. At one time, we laced through each corner to, you know, to hold the panels yeah. in. But now I have a new way of putting a plug in the middle, so I slide the panels in between mm-hmm. the two pieces of wood, which are of wood in it. And then there's holes on the corners, and I just pop this little 3D printed item into the center with four legs, and they're complete.
Uh-huh.
So they're very fast to do.
Uh-huh. what is the package you deliver? The panels, the wooden piece in the middle, and also the cook pot and the plastic bag? Or
well, the what I sell online is just the panels and the base pieces,
yeah,
and it will be the center plug,
yeah,
and a shoelace in case something, you know, somebody loses a center plug, and four spring clips to
yes,
adjust it
to
with.
Hold the sides together.
Uh-huh.
Yes, okay. So if I want to cook with it, I need a black pot additionally.
Yes.
And a poultry bag. Black plastic bag.
Right. What
do you recommend?
Well, in the Mediterranean climates, like in San Diego, I rarely use a plastic bag around it, but I have a black pot that I put a glass cover on.
Ah, okay.
And that makes your little oven.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But if you're going to have wind and cold.
The way like Celestino does it with his wash machine bull's eyes.
Yeah, it would be similar to that. Because
yeah.
Basically, once in a while I'll put something over it. And there's a product that's called the New Wave. It's a little cooker they have in the U.S. that uses ultraviolet light and infrared.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a light cooker where
and
it has a good solid base.
Yeah.
It's just
okay.
Similar to that.
Uh-huh.
From the washing machines.
Yeah.
And so then I'll just find a glass cover from some other one and put it on top of it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, if I need to contain it,
but,
it will
okay.
cook a little bit
but
hotter.
You always use this greenhouse effect. It is necessary to cook.
Well,
you cannot leave it away.
You need to have at least a glass cover
yes.
itself, you know,
yeah,
just
yeah,
like
yeah.
a regular cover
yeah.
for a pot on it.
So that the black pot has no contact with the air outside.
Right. Well,
yeah.
So what I'm saying is, you can cook with just the pot and its glass cover.
Yes, yes, of course.
But if you have more extreme conditions, then you might want to go with putting a glass outside of it or the oven bag outside of it.
Yeah, okay. You find a nice name for your cooker.
Oh, the name. Yeah. Okay, so the name, I call it a Copenhagen Solar Cooker because I invented it in 2009, and that's the year that there was the Copenhagen Climate Science
conference.
And that kind of leads back to there had been a Kyoto conference before, and someone had named a solar cooker, a solar box cooker after
yes,
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that would be a good progression.
You know,
it would relate to the China or to the
conference.
And then, of course, with my last name being Clausen, people
yeah.
think I come from Denmark. But that wasn't the reason, but it was kind of a funny coincidence. So
yeah
so it's the Copenhagen Solar Cooker, and it stuck with that name because everybody around the world knows it by
yes,
that name.
Yes, yes, yes. It was a good idea, I think. Yeah. Now we meet in Portugal. The Consul Ford conference is over and you presented there. What was your impression of the conference as a whole?
I thought one nice thing about it was all the people who participated are people who are solar cooking or promoting solar cooking. And so it was rather focused just on that point. And I also like the idea that the addition of the solar drying, I think that's a very important component, because if you just run around cooking with the sun and letting all the fruit rot,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's pointless. But here you can use the sun one more time,
mm-hmm.
and you can not only preserve the product for yourself, but you can sell it. You know, and it can be an income for people. So that was one of the things that was fascinated with. I really loved the story about the big mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. And learning about this new, you know, the new techniques were some of the things that I was fascinated with, because to see that they make that new cooker with it's like a plastic
foil.
You know, yeah, it, a balloon that's in the right shape.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess you call it. You know, and it has the framework that's designed. You know, it's engineered properly, and you can actually melt metal with it.
Yes.
And so finding that was one of the things. And then also, it was great that I was able to meet with people who I kind of feel like I know from Facebook, the solar cooking Facebook groups.
Yes.
And so the idea of community, it felt, when I came here, it felt like I was at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was one of the things I enjoyed. I would have liked a little bit more coordination from, like, this is what comes next.
Yeah.
And maybe a slight improvement on signage. But I found it to work quite well.
Yeah. Okay. How well are you connected within the United States? Are you on an island in San Diego with a few guys around you, or are you in contact with the other solar cooking, the members of the solar cooking family?
I'm pretty well connected because I can be found on any solar cooking group.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
but this is electronically. Do you also do things together or meet or so?
Well, there's the Solar Cookers International was having meetings. I don't know if they're going to do them soon again, but 2014 was the last time I went up there and met everybody. And then I think I had done it two other years.
Mm-hmm.
But in San Diego, it's turned out that we found we have Roger Haynes, we have Jim LaJoy, we have Pat McArdle and myself, and then we also have Scott, who has joined. He was connected with Jim LaJoy before. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually beginning to meet and discuss things and compare things and try to come up with some sort of interaction with the refugee groups,
mm-hmm.
you know, to learn how to do it right.
Yeah.
And so we get together at Roger's house maybe once a month or once every 3 months, depending on our scheduling.
Uh-huh.
And then we also, we have what's called the Del Mar Fair. It's the county fair. And so we'll have a display of our solar cookers there.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time we had a solar cooking club for San Diego, but that people, you know, they disperse after a while.
Okay.
So that was probably about 10 years ago that we were doing that. And I personally am thinking of going back and maybe just simply approaching. We have a very bad homeless problem. We have 8,000 to 9,000 people sleeping on the streets. Mm-hmm. And I feel these people should be able to have a hot meal without paying to go into a restaurant. So I'm going to try to work with some of our homeless groups.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to figure out what is the way, but we have a pretty good lead on you know, connections of how to help them. And then I like teaching in schools, and I will go and I will teach anywhere. If you say, I want to see solar cooking, you're going to find me there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to work on my promotion, but then there's also quite a few things in my manufacturing that I want to change. I want to come out with the most professional solar cooker I can, and I want to spread my spectrum from not just the solar cookers, but a way to make a heat retaining and then to make a box cooker. And also I plan to work with Bernard Mueller's Baba Moto.
Okay.
Baba Moto.
Yeah.
Because
wood saving stove.
Yeah, the wood, and it's very efficient. There's barely any.
I have one, yes.
Yeah. And so that's going to be one that, and I want to combine it, and I have an idea of taking your solar cooker, whatever your solar cooker is, and instead of simply building a basket that's round and separate, that's, you know, separate from your solar cooker for heat retention, to actually make a heat retainer that will fit in the solar cooker.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're having bad conditions and you think it might be an hour or two, you can just slip the heat retention into that solar cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it's ready, just take the retainer out.
What material could it be?
Pardon?
What kind of material would it be?
I would think probably a fabric, you know, with a quilting in it.
Ah, okay. Yes.
And I have to check a little bit about emissions and stuff, but there's a insulation foam that's approximately that, mm-hmm. an inch or so.
Yeah.
And it has a foil inside to it. And so you might just have a little, you know, you could slip it under and put a little cap over it, mm-hmm. or make it like a tea cozy.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you could just set it down on it, and you'd need something underneath for heat retention if it wasn't a solar box cooker.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually you're showing people two things. You're showing them a solar cooker that can do heat retention.
Yes.
And you're going to show them a wood stove for the days when it rains or it's overcast.
Yeah, in the evening, yes.
Yeah, and so basically I'm going sort of that direction, and there's so many other new ideas I can't...
Okay.
You know.
One step after another.
Yeah, right. I love making.
Okay, perfect. You said... during this conference, one inspiration or new insight was that solar dryers are important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also want to construct some of them or invent them?
Yeah, that could be part of my experiments, because now that I've learned, you know, we built, I mean, I spent $1,000 making
the molds.
No, this was the testing machine.
Okay, yes.
We actually physically made the test machine that the Solar Cookers International is using.
Now so you have it at home.
I have it at home, yeah.
You can use it, and if anybody wants his cooker to be tested, can
yeah.
Can
and
come
I
to
was
you.
Thinking of a possible preliminary,
yeah,
where I would say, you know, you send me your solar cooker, and I can do the testing, and this will be a pre-test, so that
yeah.
If you really want their official testing done, I will test the components for you,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll tell you, you're this far off and you better do something,
okay.
or I'll say, okay, that's good enough to send to them if you want the official designation.
So you offer it as a service?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of doing.
Okay.
And then I'd also, you know, combine Bernard's test, because that was really enjoyable. I took the data that came from the PEP
yes.
Tester, and I populated Bernie's page
yeah.
with that. The water boiling test.
Yes.
And then I'm going to work with that thermal imaging, because I really believe every solar cooker is going to have a different thermal image.
Of course.
And once I learn more the technical, you know, what am I seeing with this image,
mm-hmm.
then I can tell someone, okay, well, over here you have a leak. You know, you could, if you did this, you could increase your heat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just sort of give people advice, because I made every shape of solar cooker you could imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all of those are going to get retested.
Yeah, okay.
Now I have the tools to do it.
Okay.
And so... that's, yeah, testing, making,
yeah.
cooking. Oh, and I'm going to try to cook more in my solar cooker.
For yourself.
For myself, yeah. We just, all we have to do is cut down a huge palm tree in the backyard that shades.
Ah, okay. Okay, fine. Thank you a lot.
Okay.
Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Positive Impulse für eine lebenswerte Welt, wie wir sie uns wünschen. Um neue Ideen bekannt zu machen, brauchen wir eure Hilfe durch Rückmeldungen und Unterstützung aus der Hörerschaft. Kommentare sind willkommen, entweder über den Blog www.sunpod.de oder per E-Mail. Die Kontaktdaten findet ihr im Bereich Die Autoren. Finanziell könnt ihr unser Ideenradio via Flatter, PayPal oder Überweisung fördern. Details hierzu findet ihr auf der Homepage www.sunpod.de im Bereich über Sunpod. Vielen Dank für eure Mithilfe.